All right, here we are, lawyer talk. They don't teach you that in law school, but we talk about it right here at the table. What does that mean? That means we are talking about legal issues. We've got our resident law students here. We've got Troy, we've got Bella, and we talk about all things. These guys bring us questions, or bring me questions, or bring me issues to talk about, and it's like I have to dust off the cobwebs of my head to remember some of this stuff, because we don't always deal with this day in and day out, but a lot of times we do, and a lot of times I have a practical sort of connection from where you guys are to where I've been in the last 30 years, 29 and a half years, doing this stuff. So, we're going to jump right to it. We're going to talk about drones. I mean, this is awesome. Because there's a lot of stuff going on with drones right now. I remember when drones first emerged and there was this big issue about whether you had to go get FAA permission, and there was licensing issues and all sorts of stuff. Now it seems, and they were really expensive, so not everybody had them. Now I can just go into any Radio Shack. You guys don't even know Radio Shack. You can go to any electronic store and buy one and fly it around and go spy on people. But the real question is, what happens when the police spy on people? Because we kicked around the Fourth Amendment quite a bit last week.
Yes.
In the Coburger case, talking about the DNA and everything. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of an extension of that, of the Fourth Amendment issues. And really the issue is, under the Fourth Amendment, can the police spy on us using drones?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let's have it. So first of all, what was the, and I know some of these answers, but what was the first, where did it start in law school? Because you guys are taking criminal procedure. And by the way, criminal procedure in law school and criminal procedure in the real world, or like the terminology doesn't always mesh. Because we have in the real world something called the Ohio Rules of Criminal Procedure or the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. And that really is a set of rules that tells you like time deadlines, when you have to file motions, mm-hmm. what the rules of some of the discovery are. But criminal procedure in your world is the constitutional stuff. And as my old buddy used to say, that's the stuff that the bastards can't do to you. That's what the police can't do to you. So they have to follow it's Fourth Amendment stuff and Sixth Amendment stuff. And general constitutional stuff. So anyway, where'd they start on this in law school?
CrimPro, love it way more than CivPro just because it's not the rules. Like, you had it 100% right. They started with this California v. Carrillo, I think it was.
Cirillo.
So we talked.
C-I-R-A-O-L-O. None of us apparently are.
No.
Have good Spanish.
So it started there. They talk about, can they spy on you with a helicopter or a plane over top of you? And I think this was popping a marijuana farm, which now is
so this
farm.
Is back in 1986, yep. And the feds were flying choppers or the state cops were flying choppers over weed farms and taking pictures 1,000 feet high.
Yep.
And it's funny how we get these issues that emerged years and years and years ago, sometimes hundreds of years ago, and we're applying them to today's technological standards. So I remember having these discussions in law school, sort of everybody's throwing comments around with telephoto lenses. And what if you've got like the Hubble taking pictures, cause you can, it's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah. So I was thinking about that with like, GPS trackers and stuff. Like, I'm sure they've had this conversation time after time.
Yeah. That's a whole other, that's a whole other, discussion, but yeah, same kind of thing. I mean, the founders never would have contemplated helicopters. Right. Let alone drones.
Yeah.
And did they have eyeglasses? I guess. So, and they had spy glasses, but they didn't probably have binoculars yet. So, spying on somebody from afar in their home, I don't know. What would they have said about that? They would probably have said, that's a bunch of BS, man. We don't want the cops doing that. We don't want the British doing that to us.
Yeah. They would have been like, how are they flying over us for starters? That would have been the first question.
So they wrote something called the Fourth Amendment that says no search and seizures without a warrant. And now we're applying it to a helicopter 1,000 feet high. Pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so they basically decided in this one that airspace is free game. Like, and anybody can fly over and see your space. And then after that case...
Well, hold on. Let's break this down a little bit. So they being the U.S. Supreme Court gets this case in 1986. For those who care, it's 476 U.S. 207. And I remember this case or reading it, and I've dealt with it a few times. Basically, the U.S. Supreme Court is talking about what we talked about last week, which is our reasonable expectation of privacy. In other words, in our house, do we have a reasonable expectation of privacy? And does the state cops flying a helicopter 1,000 feet above my house violate that reasonable expectation of privacy? And the U.S. Supreme Court, after some lengthy discussions, says no. 1,000 feet up, you don't have any expectation of privacy there. That's public airspace, after all. So we can you can be observed from public airspace. Now, look, I would love to say all these decisions are altruistically based only on legal reasoning, but you know the Constitution has to sort of fit in modern times, and you know how do you do that? You know, we want the police. What they're really saying behind the scenes is, do we want the police to be able to fly over your house with a chopper and take pictures of what you got going on to help solve crime? And I guess the court said yes.
Yeah. I don't know if I totally agree with it or anything. I mean, but also, I guess if I'm in a commercial airliner and I look down out the window and I look at your property, I guess there's no expectation of privacy. I don't know if I'd fly right now. There's a lot of kind of flight issues going on, but.
Yeah, right. Right now's not the time to be on the yeah. But no, the point is that they said, no, it's too far. You don't really have a reasonable expectation of privacy for protection from public airspace because, after all, the airspace is public.
Yeah.
All right. So now we get to the next case.
Next one is Riley. So
Florida versus Riley, 488 U.S. 445 in 1989. So 3 years later. And you're going to see this as you guys study the constitutional development of constitutional law. The court will sort of take on topics. And this happened, for instance, in the early 2000s, I think, with the Confrontation Clause in Crawford v. Washington. And we're dealing with an issue like that right now.
Yeah.
And they took a string of cases sort of analyzing it. They're doing it with the Second Amendment right now. And they're nailing down the precedential treatment of these issues. And that's what they're doing here because technology had emerged. These cases were starting to show up more and more, and they figured we need to do something to explain what's going on. So anyway, go ahead.
That's kind of cool. I wish I could just pick a topic and we'll just focus on that for the next 10 years or something. I'm kind of jealous of them.
It's a lifetime appointment, man. All you got to do is try hard. Try hard. Maybe you too can be appointed to be a U.S. Supreme Court justice.
First capital law grad. I like that.
That would be a first.
So Riley then brings in the question, how low is public airspace? So this helicopter was 400 feet above the house, which I feel like that's a decent question. Is that really public airspace? That's like
so
pretty
400
cool.
feet.
Pretty
we're talking like a football field and some change, right?
Yeah. And that's all it's above them. And Riley, the Supreme Court decides, yep, that's still fair game. That's public airspace. And that was like kind of the line as of right now federally, like 400 feet is where we're at.
The court stresses that the chopper, the helicopter was within navigable airspace and there was no evidence that such flights were uncommon or illegal in the area. Therefore, the police officer did not violate Riley's privacy by observing his greenhouse from a helicopter at 400 feet. No warrant was needed for that.
So the big problem with all these cases is these were marijuana farms and mm-hmm. marijuana is legal now. So if we're going to get new case law on drones, we need people to start growing something like poppy or something like that, you know, so new farms.
Well, you're going to see this in these sort of curtilage, because really what we're talking about is a curtilage issue. So, and by curtilage, I mean this. We have a reasonable expectation of privacy in our homes. And the court has said, is this going back to like Katz, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
There's a case called Katz versus Ohio, I think.
Might be. I think you're...
Or Illinois. Anyway, Katz, K-A-T-Z. You have a reasonable expectation of privacy, not only in your house, what's in the behind your closed doors, but also your backyard and your side yard and your front yard and maybe your barn and your car that's parked in the driveway. And then the curtilage doctrine sort of gets wishy-washy when you get to things like, who are the Wisconsin boys? They made the Netflix series out of it.
Wisconsin boys have been Netflix.
They kill that girl or making a murder. So making a murder, these guys had a junkyard in their back. You know, they lived on a junkyard. So does the curtilage include their entire business in their junkyard? Well, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But yeah. A lot of it has to do with what the homeowner is doing to protect it. So if I erect a 20-foot fence, I'm sort of saying I have an expectation of privacy behind what's going on in this fence or what's going on behind this fence. And that might give me more of a reasonable expectation of privacy than Troy. If you just have, you get out the landscape spray paint mm-hmm. and you draw a line in your yard and say, neighbor, you cross this line, you know, you're getting it. So that's a little bit different. So it's not an obvious bright line test, but anyway, curtilage, we're talking about curtilage in your yard. Now we're talking about it up above. So that's, and now 400 feet apparently.
It's not.
They're cool with that.
Yeah.
I'm not so cool with that.
No, I'm not. I'm not either. But also, if somebody's flying a helicopter 400 feet above us right now, like, we would hear it and, like, we would know they're there.
It's loud.
Right. Yeah. That's why I feel like you can't really even compare a drone to a helicopter.
No.
Like, I don't really love how they're using these prior cases. I feel like it's just not the same at all. A helicopter requires someone to be in it, to be driving it. You would obviously know it's there. It's very loud. Drones could be very sneaky and quiet. And the cameras on these things now are, like, insane. So, I don't know.
Yeah. It's. I mean, some, there could be a drone on your roof right now. Of this building, and like we would not know.
Right.
If there was a helicopter on the roof, like we would know.
Yeah.
And there was the Supreme Court at the time was talking about the FAA regulatory guidelines, and 400 feet above a house was within the regulation. So they didn't come up with 400 feet out of nowhere. There was some FAA regulation, and I think there was some dissent or there was some debate about whether that's a good standard. Should the Fourth Amendment hinge on an administrative regulation? And I bring that up because by today's standard, we have a president who's basically dismantling a lot of the administrative state. And that shows you an administrative regulation is a fungible thing. It's hard to create a bright line Fourth Amendment constitutional rule based on that. But 400 feet until now has been good enough. And the plot thickens, though, right?
I also kind of feel like they wouldn't use a helicopter in a lot of situations because they're just, I don't know, it's like,
well, yeah, I think
a lot more work, but drones are so easy.
Yeah, that you can just pull it out of your trunk. And
yeah,
then just,
like the Michigan case, that guy had trash on his yard or something like that, yeah, right? Yeah. And that's why they wanted to crack down on him, so they got a drone. But they would have never got a helicopter in that situation.
Well, no. It is easier to conduct a search with a drone. It's cheaper.
Right.
It doesn't take much planning. You just got some cop who's probably like, you know, there was a time that having a drug sniffing dog was a rare bird dog. But anyway, you get it. And now they're pretty common. Almost every police force has one. Hey, bring Bob over here with the dog, please. And he's there in 15 minutes. Where when the dog's drug sniffing sort of became popular, it took an hour. And it's sort of drones are the same way. We have a private investigator we use all the time. And he was out at a client's place with his drone the other day. He's like, oh, I'll just take my drone out there and we'll get some footage of it. All right. So the cops have one in their trunk, just like they probably have a camera. I mean, you know what? Digital cameras were like this too. Back in the 90s when everybody was getting digital cameras before they were on our phones, cops had digital cameras. And I remember having cross-examinations for the first time with cops saying, you didn't take a damn picture of this whole thing. He goes, well, and I said, hold on a second. You have a digital camera in your trunk. You can just take as many pictures as you want. You don't need to take them to the photo mat to get them developed. You can just take pictures. It was a big deal. But now we think of it like no big deal. They got a phone. They can just take as many pictures as they want, and they should. Mm-hmm. Drones are the same way now. You just get your drone out and conduct a search.
Yeah. And unfortunately in Ohio, there's been some case law on it. When I was doing the Green Book, I first got this issue a couple weeks ago where I think his name was Bradley. Let me pull it up here. So Bradley decides he wants to steal somebody's car. Not the greatest idea, but he does it. And he takes it to his property, decent sized property, and the cops want to know if it's on there. So what they do is they go to the cops go to the neighbor's house and they say, hey neighbor, do you mind if we fly a drone above your house real quick? And we just want to see what the neighbor's got. Look over, they see a red car. So then they immediately go over there and search the house. He appeals, and on the appeals court, what Ohio has said now is drones are kind of like Riley. As long as they're 400 feet, they're fine. We're going to treat them as helicopters. And that is what has recently come out of Ohio. And I don't think the Court of Appeals is...
Hold on, though.
But don't drones have to be below 400 feet?
I mean, I think you can go as high as... I don't.
Now, there's some regulatory stuff on drones and how high you can fly them because they don't want drones in the airspace where they're going to get whacked by other aircraft.
Yeah, I thought they had to be below. That's why I was like, I don't even know why they're comparing it to a helicopter.
Well, because it's overhead surveillance with cameras, and it just technologically it's increased, and that's why I think it was O'Connor. I looked it up. Sandra Day O'Connor back in the day said, "Look, I don't think we should tie Fourth Amendment case law to a regulation." Because the regulations change, and what you're bringing up is that, you know, there was a time where we wouldn't have thought anything could really fly below 400 feet anyway. You know, what we're going to do, float helium balloons with cameras on them? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
But the interesting part about the Bradley case in Ohio, we should get back to this. The cops didn't actually fly the drone over the property.
No. They
went straight up on a neighbor's property. So the neighbor gives consent and says, all right, hey, neighbor. Or the cops go, hey, neighbor, can we fly a drone? Can we come in and fly a drone? And the guy's probably like, yeah, sure. I don't like this son of a bitch anyway. And I'll brew some coffee while we're waiting and give you some donuts. So the police fly the drone straight up and look over. Now, there's some case law, I think, back in the day where cops would put their cameras on sticks and sort of like peek over, you know?
Yeah.
And that wasn't a search. Or maybe it was a search, but there were big curtilage arguments about that. I think that's really where drones are going. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bradley case, there's some interesting real-world application to this because the Bradley goes into this whole thing about we're going to treat it like Riley and the free airspace above, but they really weren't in the free airspace above. They were sort of operating in the what-if world. Mm-hmm. And so Bradley doesn't really give us much precedent other than they're sort of signaling, well, if we got that issue, we would do it this way. But it doesn't mean that the Ohio Supreme Court will agree. And I'm not sure where this all shakes out.
No.
Yet.
No, there's not a lot of case law on this. This is like going to be an exciting issue. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to see in the, I imagine the next 10 years, like at least the Ohio Supreme Court, probably United States Supreme Court. But they did say it was more like a camera on a telephone pole. They just wanted to amuse the argument.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that they would even do that. Cause usually the Court of Appeals is like, well, they don't have to talk about it. I feel like they just don't want to. They're like, no, I'm not.
Well, let's put our legal hats on for a second. And if we had the issue, what would we do with it? And let's create a fact pattern. And the best way to do this is to create fact patterns that you would think are the most egregious or worst form of surveillance searching that you can imagine. You're in your house and you look out your kitchen window and there's a drone staring right at you, right through your window, 5 feet away. Watching you package your marijuana and count your money.
Hate when they do that.
Right. And it turns out the cops are sitting over in your buddy's property and he's pissed because you didn't give him free dope. And he says, yeah, go get that guy. Or maybe he's a drug dealer himself and he's like, that's my competition. Take his ass down. So now we've got that. So now let's assume a couple of things. They don't have a search warrant. They have a drone. They have permission to be where they started the drone flight. They fly the drone right over your fence, 5 feet high, right around your house to your back window or your kitchen window, and they're videotaping you or they're it's not even videotaping anymore. They're filming you, recording you, count money, and package dope.
I feel like that's just a trespass issue.
Are doing it. Every time the police enter your property, it's a trespass unless they have permission. So they can do that with a warrant sometimes and without a warrant sometimes.
Because they have permission to be on the neighbor's property, but they don't have permission to be on your back porch at you. So I don't know. I just feel like I know technology is constantly changing and it gets better with time. But I feel like we can't just keep bending the rules because of it. But then I also think like technology is changing and getting better. Why wouldn't the police use it? You know, like imagine if we said the police can't GPS track us or they can't use cameras when that first came out. I just feel like it would be maybe a disadvantage.
I mean, we talked about Riley, how as long as it's in the regulations, that's good. I mean, if drones aren't allowed over 400 feet, but they're in your backyard, I mean, according to regulation,
so
they're following the regulations.
Maybe there's going to be some federal regulations about where you can fly, where normal people, not cops, could fly drones, and you could use that to peg the standard. But that can change too. So the question, I mean, let's start with the question. Did you have a reasonable expectation of privacy in your kitchen? And let's add another fact. You got 5 acres and you're in the middle of 5 acres and the police flew this drone from your neighbor's property across your acreage to your back kitchen window. And that's how they got the shot.
I would say you have a reasonable expectation of privacy because you've placed your house so far away from the edge of your property. Like you put it that far. It all depends, of course.
Of course, it all depends, right?
Feel like in your house you would expect that you're in private and no one's watching you.
Yeah, I think one of the like case laws is though like somebody put stuff over their windows, like film over their windows, so you couldn't look in. Which I know that's
Oh, that's right. People do that all the time.
Yeah, but like they were like, this person took extra steps.
Almost everybody does that. We call them curtains.
Oh, yeah.
And blinds. I mean that. I'm not joking.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
We all
do
that. And but that is true. I bring that up. It's a good point, and it's worth discussing because we don't sometimes people use curtains because of the R value. You get some insulating value. Your house stays warmer and cooler, warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. But most of the time we do it because we don't want the creeps looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get out and you're taking your shower and you get out and you're getting dressed, you close your bedroom curtains because you don't want people watching. But our guy, our hero here, he didn't have blinds on his kitchen window.
No.
Dummy. But the police were able to look in. So now the question is, where do you draw a line? Can we all agree that that's probably a search for purposes of the Fourth Amendment and our hero probably had a reasonable expectation of privacy to be free from searches and seizures in that scenario?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, at that point, what's the difference between having the drone sitting there at window height and then the cop just hopping the fence and looking?
That's what I was saying.
This is where I think the courts are going to go. If the drone, and I'm making this up, folks, so this is me just spitballing here, but I think the police are going to, or the courts are going to start treating drones like an extension of what the cops can see. And would they be permitted to go there on foot? And if the answer is no, then I think there's going to be a problem. And so I think they're going to maintain the 400-foot nonsense, whether I agree with that or not. I think they'll maintain that. But anything below that, they're going to start treating it like the courts, I believe, will start treating it like an extension of the cops.
So you think that if the drone is just 50 feet above the house?
Those are going to be the harder questions, right? Could a cop be 50 feet above your house in a helicopter staring down, even if it didn't violate FAA regulations? The Supreme Court has said no.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how it's gonna shake out.
Yeah, I hope that's how it's
going to get more difficult. Let's make it harder. The police didn't fly the drone to your back kitchen window. They flew it to your back 40, where you're growing, where you have a field of poppies, and they're taking pictures there. Maybe not. Now, what if they get a search warrant? So now, and this is what I would tell the police to do. If I'm a prosecutor and the police come to me and say, "Hey, I'm Detective O'Flanagan here. I want to go fly my drone on Troy's house." If I'm a prosecutor, I'd say, "Wait a minute. How pray tell do you plan on doing that?" And if they pitch to me the scenario that we just made up, I would say, "Go get a search warrant." And if the cop said, "Well, we don't have probable cause to get a search warrant," I would say, "Then don't do the search."
Mm-hmm.
Or if you do the search, you're likely to lose all the evidence that you find. Because under the exclusionary rule, the courts are going to throw it out. And I think here's what I've found over the years. Almost always, the police could have done it. All they had to do was go get a search warrant. That's all they had to do.
You're asking them to do a lot, though.
My dad was for a while, he was an assistant United States attorney, and he was consulting on something. He tells this story. He was consulted by the police. The police asked him, "What should we do? We're at this guy's house. Should we go in or should we search his car? Should we do whatever?" And my dad, he might be making it up, I don't know. But my dad says, "Well, I told him to go get a search warrant." And the police sort of pushed back and said, "Well, wait a minute. You know, we've got this in plain view. We've got this. We're allowed to do it." My dad says, "Nope, go get a search warrant." Well, it turns out whatever reason they thought they had to be on the property or they were permitted to be on the property without a warrant didn't exist. They were wrong. And because they took the extra step to go get a search warrant that maybe took 20 minutes or whatever, an hour, they were able to salvage the case and preserve the evidence. And this is a telling, example. Most of the time, the police, it's not hard to get a search warrant. It's not hard to, because what we're really talking, we should back up. What we're really talking about is whether the police can go search some place without a search warrant or whether they should get a search warrant. Fourth Amendment says, well, the Fourth Amendment doesn't talk about any exceptions, but the Supreme Court, as we talked about last time, has created a bunch of exceptions. One of them would be if the police see something in plain view, they can go seize it. Another would be if there's exigent circumstances. So if they're chasing Troy, just robbed a bank into somebody's house, they can go follow him in there. The automobile exception we talked about where your car's out on your road. All those things are still there. But if you're a cop, you don't have to do it that way. You don't have to do it the easy way. You can still go get a search warrant if you have time. And if you don't, you do so at your peril. You know, that's when sharp lawyers like us come in and say, guess what? You screwed up. This was a search. You should have had a warrant. My client had a reasonable expectation of privacy, and you're going to lose the evidence. So I guess all of this could be avoided by just the cops going to get a search warrant. But here, they took the shortcut, and they didn't.
Yeah. And the actual appeal for Bradley is the main issue was they saw the car, and instead of going to get a search warrant, they just immediately did the search.
That's mm-hmm. another problem.
Yeah, so that's what the court appeals actually focus on. They're like, why did you guys not just wait and get a warrant? They end up like not excluding it, but they're like, you guys, this was as close as you guys could get to getting this excluded.
Yeah, I've not read the Bradley case careful enough to know why that wouldn't have been thrown out. But look, I mean, so that's a good question. So the police, the Bradley court holds that the drone was where it should, it was okay. The drone search was fine for whatever reason. They see the red car and they think, well, that's the car that was stolen. Let's just go get it. Mm-hmm. What are the exigent circumstances there? Like why? And by exigent circumstances, let's say that the car's on fire or the defendant is in the process of destroying it or chopping it up.
You can rush chop. Yeah, you can rush in
that is something called effervescent evidence, meaning evidence that is likely to be destroyed if you don't go get it now. That would create an emergency that you should go, like, there's not enough time. And then the other flip side is, well, couldn't you have just posted a couple cops right there and say, you hang tight, make sure nothing happens to this evidence. We're going to go call Judge Wilson and get us a warrant.
Yeah, the judge said, why don't you just block the driveway with a cop car?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, which made sense to me. I was like, yeah.
That's right.
The car's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
And I feel like at that point, it's like, what's the point of the Fourth Amendment? If you could just fly a drone wherever you want, and then that gives you enough to be able to just search
and you
the
see
property.
And the judge says, so you see a red car, so you know that's the car.
Yeah, you're first making the assumption it's the red car, and you're second making the assumption that you have to go get it now, or there's some peril if you go get a search warrant.
Yeah.
That's a little dicey. But, you know, you brought up a good point, Bella, and this is where people say is, why do you need logic or the LSA? Logic is important in law because you've got a rule that says you have to go get a search warrant under the Fourth Amendment. Then you have exceptions that say, except when these things happen. But if you have too many exceptions, they succumb the rule and mm-hmm. the rule goes away.
Right.
And then you have exceptions to exceptions. Now you're back to the rule. So it's like you have to understand how all that stuff fits together. And if you water it down so much, you get to the point where what's the meaning of it anyway? I would have suppressed. I have to read the case to see why they let him mm-hmm. let the police go on Bradley's property to seize the red car even after they flew the drone. But that would without a search warrant. That is.
Yeah, I think you want to talk about if the drone comes on your property, whether or not you can shoot it.
So here's the question: We're going to take a poll because. I do not believe, let's take the cops out of this. This is good stuff. So let's take the cops out of this. And instead, what we're going to do is we're going to do some skeet shooting, some drone shooting. And my neighbor or some guy 10 miles away or 5 miles away decides to fly a drone. And this happened at my in-law's house. One of their cousins or somebody flew a drone all the way to their house from heaven. I don't know how far it was, but far away. And they're on GPSs, so they go right home. And there's next thing we know, there's a drone staring at you. Like, well, look, I like to go shoot sporting clays. That seems like an easy shot.
They look so similar,
it's too.
Like
shooting ducks. It's like shooting ducks. So I shoot it out of the air and I destroy the drone. What say you guys?
I think it depends on the circumstances, like how big the property is, how low they're flying. Like, I mean, it's. I think if it's like just flying down low on your property, you have like a 5-acre plot, I would say shoot it. I know there was literally a video yesterday, the Drake one,
mm-hmm.
And he's up on top of this like skyscraper, for instance, and the drone literally is flying on his patio and he like throws a shoe at it. Like it was got that close to him. And
he missed by a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a rough year. Let's not make fun of his throwing.
Think about that, though. Think about the paparazzi,
right?
Using drones. I mean, they're going to be in your backyard. So look, I mean, two things are going to be true. The first thing that's going to be true is the law is probably not going to permit a private citizen from trespassing on your property with a drone.
Yeah,
right. Fair enough. The second thing is probably also going to be true. Just because they're trespassing with a drone, you're probably not allowed to blow it out of the sky with a shotgun without some consequence. That's going to be criminal damaging or some destruction of property. I'm not going to say what I would do. So let's take a poll of our, let's take a poll of all the Lawyer Talk followers out there. What would you do? You got a drone in your backyard. Do you blow it out of the sky or not? And we'll just sort of leave it open.
There was the Florida man one we were looking at, and where he did shoot a Walmart drone dropping off a package. I guess it was at 200 feet, dropped down to 75, and then, you know, he shoots it. He said he only shot once, and he hit it, so he's a great shot. You should go ski shooting with him.
It's 75 feet?
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad. And he got charged. They ended up dismissing it. He took, like, a plea deal for, what's it called? Like,
diversion or something?
Diversion, yeah. Diversion. They sent him to a school where they teach you not to shoot at drones. And so now he's like,
you've learned your lesson.
Yeah, I know drones are okay. He's like, just tweak it.
But, yeah, I'm just thinking, like, older people would like who aren't familiar with it would be like, what is this on my property?
Like you're getting invaded, man. I mean, right. It's like, there's a drone. Like, the kitchen window one, it'd be hard for me not to take some sort of immediate action if some son of a bitch is spying on me through my kitchen window.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, how's that not a home invasion? Or, you know, look, I mean, think of all the nefarious things that people could be doing. They could be just peeping Toms.
Mm-hmm.
They could be casing your property to see if anybody's home so they can break in. They could be delivering some completely innocent thing, like dropping a package. So these are issues that we're going to have to iron out as a society. I was up at Bowling Green, and they got these little robots that deliver food to people. And I'm like, well, that just seems like it's wrought with peril here. So,
I hate
or fraught,
yeah.
Rot, whatever. That seems troubling because you at some point, some bike is going to hit one or something's going to happen. Like, who's responsible? Yeah.
We were stretching one time, and the robot's delivering somebody's Starbucks in the morning. And my arm out like this and just ran over my arm. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like,
it's right. Tell me that's not a little bit disturbing.
Yeah.
So. I heard the police use them now, or they want to use them. If someone calls in an emergency, the drone could get there in like 90 seconds and check it out.
All sorts of good reasons for that. Yep.
Which is good. But then I also feel like we're getting to a point where, like, we leave the house and we feel like we're already being watched. If it's like there's drones all over catching your every move, it's kind of like the police don't even have to be there to see it.
Well, this is where, and case law is starting to do this, to bring this back to some reality. Case law is starting to do this where courts are equating these issues with cell phone issues and whether the police are able to have access to the contents of your phone, your location services, this idea of geofencing where they're getting your location and everybody else's location based on your phone pinging a tower or whatever it would be. And that's a whole nother episode. And there's a bunch of case law that's emerged on that. Troy and I have done some suppression issues on it. But yeah, I mean, these are technological things that until recently, it was all science fiction. Like, who would have thought you call the cops and then get there fast with a 911 call with a drone? And I've had cases, you know, I had a murder case down in Hocking County where that would have been most helpful because there's no cell service and the cops couldn't get there. Or not there was no cell service. There was too far away for the cops to get there.
Imagine getting chased by a murderer and the drone flies up and it's just yelling, stop.
What if it's equipped with...
like a gun?
Tasers.
Oh, tasers.
Yeah. Pepper spray.
Yeah, or pepper spray. Or pepper spray, right?
I mean, there's some good things that would come from that.
I think so too. I think it could be very helpful, but I feel like
Big Brother.
They got to draw the line somewhere. I don't know. I feel like it could maybe go too far.
And so, this is where we, meaning our country, we have a whole different view on this. Historically, we don't like people bugging us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like people watching us. We don't live in a collective world of communal happiness. You know, it's like we're private people. And that's just the American way. It always has been the American way, like it or not. You know, people think, well, it should be like you're. No, it's not. We left, right? We left and we wrote our own rules and we created our own country. And we said, we don't want no king telling us what we can do. We don't want to participate in this authoritarian nonsense. I have said for years, the easiest way to eliminate crime is to put stormtroopers with jackboots on every corner carrying guns. Anybody who's been to Mexico on a vacation, that's what you see. You see these guys cruising around in Jeeps with their armor and guns, and they have their, I don't know what they are, AKs or ARs, and nobody else does. Well, there's no street crime, but the cartels run the damn country, right? There's bigger problems. And the problem with that is you can eliminate all of that kind of crime, except you can't eliminate the crime that those people are committing. And, you know, the freedom comes at the price of safety. Mm-hmm. Always does. So anyway, go read John Locke, go read Thomas Hobbes, and then find your middle ground.
I think the drones with AI is going to be interesting, because AI, now you could ask it, pull up a man who's 5 or 6 foot with a mustache, and it'll like pull you up, you know?
Well,
so,
that's right. Well,
5'6"? What do you mean 5'6"? You mean 6'2"?
Okay. Didn't I say 6 foot?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh. I thought you said 5'6".
Come on. Like facial recognition software and like casinos, and you know, you hear about this stuff, and it's like, it's scary stuff. Scary stuff, because we like our privacy. We like our freedom. And the Fourth Amendment is designed to protect both those things. So anyway, they didn't teach you any of this. You didn't have these conversations, or maybe you did. This sounded a little bit like a law school discussion.
A little bit. They just dabbled with the drone. The thing is, there's no federal case law on it.
Right.
It's going to be exciting to see how it rolls out. It's going to be awesome.
You have just solidified yourself as a legal geek. It's going to be exciting to see how this plays out. And it is. I agree. I mean, this is what makes our job sort of interesting and fun, to watch this stuff unfold. And we're living it, folks. So, all right. They don't teach you that in law school. Lawyer talk off the record, on the air, at least until now.